It is a Camino-like day here in sunny Los Angeles, and so we're going to talk about Star Wars. We're talking about the new Timothy Zahn Thrawn book, how Rogue One became the biggest film of 2016, and we're going to be talking a little bit of a history lesson that we learned from last night's Rebels, all of this and more on episode 115 of Jedi Alliance. Stay with us!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. Here's Popcorn Talk's Jedi Alliance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Jedi Alliance right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. I am one of your hosts, the Internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica, but I can't do this alone. The rest of the crew is here sitting next to me.
He's a beautiful man.
He is Mr.
I was trying to hold on. Like,
he is Mr. Michael Young.
Hello, everyone.
That's
Michael
that,
Young.
That beauty.
O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A.
Happy to have you here, Michael. And happy to have you. That I'm pretty sure.
All right, thank you.
I'm pretty sure you're happy to be talking about this as opposed to a show like Sleepy Hollow. And joining us, well, no, okay, watch the show. Shout out to AfterBuzz TV. And joining us on the couch, she is our chat master. She's the one and only Alexis Torres.
Sorry, I'm still trying to recover from all that shade that was just thrown. Hi, everybody.
At least it's cool in here.
I know.
Cool.
I was wondering why it was so rainy and shady out here. You can find me all over social media at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890.
Very good. Cool. How's everybody doing?
Not bad. We got that Camino weather. I'm down with it.
That's pretty, yeah. I mean, luckily, we're starting to hear that L.A. is coming out of its drought. So a little bit less like Tatooine.
55%
right a little bit now. Closer to the forest moon of Endor.
Heck yeah.
Getting there. Yeah. Getting there.
I actually saw a river, like...
What?
On the street.
And not the LA River.
No. There now, but there's an actual river just going down my street.
A real
now.
River.
Yeah.
It's not a cement.
So, guys,
river.
If you're in the LA area, grab your pails and scoop up a little for yourself.
Don't do that.
Summer will be here soon.
Yes, scoop up some LA tap water. See what happens to you.
Some of that LA tap.
Did you ever see Futurama?
And that was news with Michael Young.
Would you ever see the Futurama where Layla meets her parents and they're mutants? That was L.A. tap water, even though they lived in New York City.
Regardless of that.
Last week we had mentioned that we were going to be doing Catalyst on this episode. We didn't, because we're not going to do it this episode because a whole bunch of life came up. Unfortunately, my wife came down with a bad case of food poisoning, and then that developed into something else. There's a bad bug going around right now.
It's bad.
So and didn't
no half your, my office was out. Because
and didn't
there was
your boy have a little bit?
No,
of
No, he was sick for the entire week.
Yeah. Ooh. So we had a little bit of care, significant other care to handle, and could not read D's books. But we are
D's books.
But we're going to that place tonight. We're going.
These books. These books up in your mind.
Improve your mind. Read a book. Let's not go into that.
We're gonna be in a very silly moment.
This show is amazing.
We're gonna be in a silly moment today.
R-E-A-D.
This show got real weird, even from outside perspective.
Thank you, Zach. R-E-A-D-A-B-O. Okay, so do yourself a favor and pick up Catalyst if you haven't had a chance to read it yet. If you run a little bit behind. Promise next week, whether we've all read it or not, we're going to talk about it next week. Spoil the biz, but it's going to happen. We're going to talk about it because we got other stuff to talk about. When we got another book that's going to be coming out within a couple of months, that we're going to talk about. But first, shout out to our chat, Alexis. How are the folks in chat doing tonight?
We've got 30 people watching right now, and everybody's like, "What's up?" They're talking about, oh my god, this week of Rebels. They're recapping about last week when we talked about Woody Harrelson, because it is confirmed.
Yup.
And obviously, Aaron says, "May the Force be with us,"
and also with you.
Yes. So yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Also, a shout out to Zach in the booth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, who is joining us live. If you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure to join us live. We are live every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we are going to go back to the chat every now and again. Alexis, you wanted to talk a little bit about Rogue One's financial success.
Holy crap, guys. We hit $1 billion worldwide.
$1 billion.
No, like, for real. Like, I was looking at all of the charts and stuff like that, which I'm trying to bring up because my computer's like, hey,
well,
no.
This past week, this past Friday, it earned another $3.244 million. And I only know that because I have it in front of me. which brought its total to $488.3 million. So it... it is technically the biggest domestic hit of 2016.
Yeah, wow. Because all and right. also the fact that we've been having a lot of 3-day weekends been coming up recently, so a lot of people are going to the movies, man, especially because now the rain too, so I feel like that money's just shelling out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was also due to the, quote, extra days off.
Yep.
Because the holidays were over the weekend, everybody got that extra month, like the Boxing Day off and the... Excuse me, January 2nd off. Mm-hmm. So that might have helped the movies a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of colleges just started school this week, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, if you live in the LA area, CSUN, that's in the Valley, they're not starting until next week. So people are just blowing their money on movies. And I'm like, hey, good for you. That's what I would be doing if, you know, I wasn't an adult.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, if I could.
Yes.
One time for Disney. Money, 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 money.
There it is.
Well, so,
every time.
So just on Star Wars alone, just on Rogue One alone, it made $1 billion worldwide. And
that's a lot of money.
Counting more.
Money.
And then adding in the Marvel and the Disney proper, right? It made over $3 billion. Wow. That's billion with a B.
Jeff.
I mean,
and we were talking about that too because we were trying to figure out what it was going to make worldwide. We're like, what, like a month? No, a month in?
Yeah, about a month.
Yeah. And they've made literally $1 billion worldwide box office. Holy crap.
This was up.
I think the most surprising thing about the whole box office experience of Rogue One is that it's not doing that great in China.
No.
Well, Star Wars has never been huge in China anyway. So it's not. Disney's not tripping on that.
I'm sure, but like Force Awakens did really well. They had, they had a music video for China's version of Justin Bieber. I'll never forget. His name is Luhan.
Feeling
the Force, I believe is what it was called. They made a single to promote Force Awakens as a pop culture thing, as opposed to here's this worldwide phenomenon.
But also, that was what I was going to say. It's actually third of the Star Wars movie gross in general, because Force Awakens made $2.7 billion worldwide, and then Episode 1, Phantom Menace, made $1.3 billion worldwide, which I actually didn't know that until I did research on it. So but I mean, it makes sense.
It does.
The fact that it was, you know, oh my God, Star Wars.
New Star Wars. And Rogue One still has legs. Like, it's only been a month. It'll probably take until April, maybe, to where it totally leaves the theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the 13th Disney film to hit $1 billion. At least to hit it.
And the good thing about this is that this bodes well for telling different stories and telling different stories differently in the Star Wars universe. Because at first, I could see where Lucasfilm might be kind of scared. Like, I don't know how this might work out. This isn't a saga film. There's no Skywalkers in this. We don't know how this is going to... Well, technically, there's a Skywalker. But
it's not about Skywalkers.
Yeah, it's not about Skywalkers. It's not about Darth... Well, yeah. But you know what I mean. It's not a main saga film.
Dig yourself out of that hole, Michael.
Because it's like, well, there's no Darth... Yes, it is, but it's cool to see them be able to step out of the comfort zone and be successful. Now maybe we can get a couple of... Well, we know we're going to get some more, but maybe they'll... Maybe like loosen the reins on how they're directed, how they're depicted, and things of that nature. And maybe we can get a crawlback. Yes, I'm going to be honest.
Really?
I would like to get a crawlback. One of my biggest gripes had nothing to do with the film itself, was the fact that I'm like, yo, where's the crawl at? I know you guys want to be different, but this is Star Wars. It is different. The crawl is what helps make you different.
Yeah.
Bring crawl back. And whoever did that, like, I don't know, 10-minute Photoshop Rogue One cover, like the Rogue One letters. Maybe revise it a little bit. Revise it, bring it back in, reel it in, revise it a little bit. But besides that, I'm psyched to see where they go next, because I think they'll be able to bring in some other cool directors that, you know, maybe like David Fincher or something like that, and do some, you know, darker stuff, some more mature themes, in the Star Wars.
That's really weird that you say that, because a friend of the show, John Rocha, got to talk to him pretty recently.
Word,
But
VA, what up?
He was pushing for that darker tone and saying that giving directors a little bit more free rein. this movie got a lot of free reign. Disney essentially was hands off about the whole thing. It's been widely reported now that they submitted the draft where everything happens that happens in the movie. Yeah. That's a relatively dark turn for a Star Wars franchise, let alone a Disney franchise.
Yeah.
And they just let it happen. So it seems I wonder how far this rabbit hole goes, to take it back to Disney. But we are going to be talking a little bit later about the Darksaber and about Dathomir. So if we got like a dark magic Dathomir movie,
that would be awesome. I mean, I thought that's what they were trying to do since they kind of teased it in Rogue One a little bit.
I can see them going a little further, because at first I can see them saying, well, you know, this is going to be an outlier. We don't know how it's going to work. Mm-hmm. You know, go make this movie. Let's see what happens. And then for them to make the movie and then it be so successful, them being, okay, cool. All right. Now we can do this stuff. We can do the saga films, which mm-hmm. are more wide audience type thing, and even be a little more mature, and people will still show up.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think this bodes well for Star Wars in general.
Sure. Well, that's what I was actually part of why I put up this article, was actually to ask you, since now that we're getting a lot more saga movies and things of like, let's see how this, you know, this character started out, like the Han Solo movie. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's actually going to do how Rogue One did and all the other Star Wars, where it's going to hit 1 billion now that we're kind of going out of the box to the point? Or do you think we're just going to stay in the millions like the other ones?
Even if they don't hit a billion, they'll probably be something like 999,900,000 or something like that. So it's because now Star Wars has proven, if you just make it good, it can still be mature and people will come out.
Mm. Yeah.
So I don't think, you know, kind of like the film I was talking about, like maybe something about the Black Sun and the Hutts and all that. Mm-hmm. Maybe that, even though I think that might work better as a show, but, you know, you could do something around the criminal underworld and maybe how the, you know, Galactic Empire can't control it all. And people will still show up because they'll be like, oh, this trailer looks sweet.
Yeah.
You know, we trusted them before. We went out. We had a great time. So it's, you know, easy to trust in them again. Kind of like, you know, the way they've rebuilt their brand has been very, very smart and very solid. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm excited for it.
I wonder if Episode 8 will come to any sort of acknowledgement. Like if okay, Episode 7 did well, Rogue One did well, because this is still the same creative or a similar creative team, but a different director,
right.
mm-hmm. different crew, if that will affect how the Han Solo movie is tracked. And at the same time, because we're dealing with a named character, and we're dealing with a character that we're familiar with, that everybody grew up with, and I think it has a little bit more appeal to do better right out the box.
Yeah.
But I think for that general audience, it'll hit home for sure.
Yeah. the name of Han Solo alone is like,
yeah,
you're at least looking at a great first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I was curious, and then people in the chat have also talked about, like, do you guys think Episode 8 will do the? What do you guys think Episode 8 is going to make worldwide? That can range depending on, you know, people in general.
Since losing Carrie Fisher, people are really going to want to go to see that performance.
Yeah. Kind of see her last time, seeing her on screen. You'll have that. Then you'll, like, first of all, you'll just have, it's Star Wars.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and then you're going to have, okay, this is her very last turn as Leia. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have, and not to say that, you know, someone's going to try to cash in on this, but you'll have Star Wars, then you'll have the sentiment and the emotion behind we're seeing our princess off.
Mm.
You know, so you're going to have that. And then, I mean, I haven't seen the film, but let's go in and say it's most likely going to be good.
Yeah.
So since it's going to be good, people are going to want to see it twice. And, you know, maybe see it a third time and things like that. So,
and maybe in different formats.
Yeah.
4DX, 3D, enhanced sound, all IMAX. That stuff.
So I don't think, you know, Episode 8 is in any trouble now.
No, I don't think so either. And that wasn't the question. I think people curious, you know, like, oh, do you guys think it'll... I'm like, it's Star Wars. It's going to make tons and tons of money.
Yeah.
That's why we sing the money song every time.
Money.
So moving on from there, we got a little bit more information this week. Sorry to steal this topic from you, Mike, because I know he's your favorite Star Wars character. I wanted to read the summary of Timothy Zahn's new Thrawn book, which is scheduled for release April 11th, 2017.
Wow.
So, Grand Admiral Thrawn has earned an iconic status among Star Wars' greatest villains, but Thrawn's origins and story of his rise in the Imperial ranks have remained mysterious. Now, in Star Wars Thrawn, Timothy Zahn chronicles the fateful events that launched the blue-skinned, red-eyed master of military strategy and lethal warfare into the highest realms of power and infamy. After Thrawn is rescued from exile by Imperial soldiers, his deadly ingenuity, and keen tactical... He's batting his eyes. And keen tactical abilities swiftly capture the attention of Emperor Palpatine. I rewrote it as a romance novel.
Nice.
So ingenuity versus ingenuity. And just as quickly... Thrawn proves to be as indispensable to the Empire as he is ambitious, as devoted as its most loyal servant, Darth Vader, and a brilliant warrior never to be underestimated. On missions to rout smugglers, snare spies, and defeat pirates, he triumphs time and time again, even as his renegade methods infuriate superiors while inspiring ever greater admiration from the Empire. As one promotion follows another in his rapid ascension to greater power, he schools his trusted aide, Ensign Elivanto, in the art of combat and leadership and the secrets of claiming victory. Whoa. But even though Thrawn dominates the battlefield, he has much to learn in the arena of politics, where ruthless administrator Arinda Price holds the power to be a potent ally or a brutal enemy.
Wow.
All these lessons will be put to the test, when Thrawn rises to admiral and must pit all the knowledge, instincts, and battle forces at his command against an insurgent uprising that threatens not only innocent lives, but also the Empire's grip on the galaxy and his own carefully laid plans for future ascendancy. Thrawn will be released April 7th, 2017 in hardcover, ebook, and audiobook formats.
Wow, look at you.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Oh, but I'm so psyched.
Like, I got chills when you were reading that. Like,
that's multiplying.
Yeah, no, for real. You got, it's electrifying.
It's interesting how we're going to see how him and Governor Price met. And how that alliance sort of formed.
Everybody in the chat, everybody in the chat is saying that they have a good feeling about this book. Aaron Blum was like, 50 Shades of Thrawn?
No, it would be 50 Shades of Blue.
Good point.
I mean, like that.
But him and Price, you never know.
He might, stop it.
After a long day of, like, you know, beating up rebels and, you know, I don't know, arresting scoundrels, he's like, could I introduce you, or maybe
don't you do it?
Don't.
You can't. This is a family show. This is a family show.
Stop it.
Can I invite you out to dinner?
Nice.
There it is.
And she'd be like, "Well, of course."
No.
Oh God.
Oh God. Price set. You watch the dang show. You know.
Look, you're messing up my story.
You ruined everything.
You're getting him away.
Well, of course.
Please audition to do the audiobook.
Oh my God, I would love it so
much. Change everything.
Much.
Oh man, if
I would die. Look,
holla at me. I can do the audiobook.
Audible.
Okay? Holla at me. I can do that.
Do you think they would use some of the voices from Rebels to make it a little bit more of a performance piece?
I hope so. Either that, or who did the voice from Heir to the Empire? I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
Whoever did the voice in that, because that's what hooked me on Thrawn in the first place. So whoever, if you're out there or if you know who it is in the chat, just let us know. But I'd like that person to do the voice. But whoever's on Rebels, that would tie in very well because he's Thrawn now.
Right.
You know, so. That's why I wonder we have the beginning timeline. I wonder where this book ends. If it leads to right before his appearance on Rebels, because they just mention Admiral. They don't mention Grand Admiral.
Yeah.
But they mention that he gets the attention of the Emperor, so it has to be within that time frame of in between episode 3 and 4.
Right.
And who knows how long it would actually take him. Now, one of the main bits from this character, you're right?
What is
just
it?
Just reading stuff in the chat.
All right.
Are we
getting what is it?
Sorry. I'm trying to interrupt.
Some more careless whisper stuff?
Maybe. Aaron Blum said Michael and Rocha doing the audio would be hysterical.
Oh.
Michael and Rocha?
That would be great.
Maybe.
Rocha, holla at me, man. We can get together and do this audio.
Who'd be Price and who'd be Thrawn?
Oh, I don't know. It's up to you. The fans. Garrett Farney also says, what if Benicio del Toro ends up being Thrawn in episode 8? Mind blown.
I like him a lot, but it's really hard to ignore all of the photoshopping that people have done of Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yep.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah.
This... But he would be another... He would be like a little, and I guess this is spoilery, but he would be like his character in Star Trek II, Into Darkness.
How dare you?
Yeah, but I mean, would. He is a
kind of similar
intergalactic. It would be a little bit
extremely
more sly.
Smart and you know,
suave, a debonair.
Now, my question to you guys: what is something that you want from this book?
To be perfectly honest, I want to see how day-to-day life with the Empire treating this person who... Essentially the racial tension that takes place between the Empire, who is very, very well known to be white...
Fair-skinned, if you would.
White.
Yep.
And traditionally old, and I don't know what part of the galaxy Britain is a part of, but mostly British, too. I would want to see that... I want to see that struggle and how he overcomes it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much on the same boat. There's no need to sugarcoat that. And Garrett also said in the chat, isn't
Mads Mikkelsen.
Yes, brother, that voice is Thrawn.
Yes.
That's he was just trying to help you out with that
one
question.
One thing that I would love to see is at least one encounter between Thrawn and Vader.
Oh, sure.
I want to
I want to see that on TV.
Like, well, but I feel like we're never going to get that.
That's not true at all.
Even though, I mean, I don't know. I feel like we're not going to get that because Vader has been nowhere to be seen this season.
Dude, that's season finale material.
Oh, well, it's true.
Either season premiere or season finale material.
It's true. Or it might be like, never going to get it, never going to get it.
Never going to get it, never
going to
get it.
Money!
Right. But no, I agree.
I think those two, if those two could meet, I'd be hyped. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Sorry, I saw your head bobbing, and I was like,
yeah.
See, like, all right.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself.
What about you, Alexis? What do you want to see from the book?
No, that was like I said. I'm the same book.
On Ummy. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. Like literally, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because in the world of the Empire, you really need to get the sense that not all. Not all members of the Empire are created equal. Much like how not all ingredients are created equal.
High-quality
ingredients make a real difference, so it's important to know where your food comes from. We're going to take this time to talk about our sponsor, Blue Apron. We love ourselves some Blue Apron. They are the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country, and they have established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, ranchers across the United States, and as a result, the seafood is sourced sustainably, standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals, and produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. I love me some Blue Apron. They have been sponsor in the past, and so luckily had a chance to try some of their stuff. And they recently had spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes, which was super good. We got a recipe from them that we use over and over and over again.
Yep.
It was spicy Korean chicken, and we saved. They're on these really nice printed recipe cards that you can keep and just keep using.
Over and over.
So they've given us these recipes. Yeah, what?
Right.
So they give us continued use of cooking. But the great thing about joining their service is they ship everything to you directly. It is fresh. You cook it right away, and it saves you a trip out. It's really easy.
And it
saves you money because it's about $10 per person per meal, which for the quality of ingredients that you get is huge. What we would suggest is you go to blueapron.com/menu. And you can see what the meals for the upcoming weeks are. You get to pick up to 3 meals, or you can surprise yourself and have the chefs pick it for you. But you can also, depending on your diet, you can get specific. Like if you're a pescatarian, or if you're a vegan, or if you're a vegetarian. Like they have meals for you no matter how you eat. So here is our deal. Here's what you can do with us. You can go check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free. Absolutely free.
Free?
Free.
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 Free. Free.
F-R-E-E. Free. That's because we like to hook you up here, Jetta. You need to. Alexis likes it. She's appreciating all of the free. So all you got to do, it helps us out. And it helps you out because you get free food. You go to blueapron.com/Jedi. It tells them that we sent you, and you'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That is blueapron.com/Jedi. We'd like to, again, thank Blue Apron for sponsoring this episode of Jedi Alliance.
And a very smart Jedi told me, never turn down free food. it's not canon yet. We're working it into a story.
We'll get it there.
We're getting it there.
When you do the Thrawn book, you can add it as a thing. They'll be like,
actually, that was really good.
So for our third topic of the day, Michael, you're going to be leading this one. How about that episode of Rebels last night?
Have you guys seen it?
No.
We're going to be talking about the main history stuff that we learned about Mandalore. So it's not necessarily what happens on the episode, though.
I'm not going to say too much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
The vocal performances in last night's episode are among some of the best of the series and of animation.
Yeah, there's some awesome. There's some good stuff last night.
Yeah.
Oh, dang it.
Last night, we got to see the Rebels episode, which was Trials of the Darksaber. Mm-hmm. And it was with your girl, Sabine. You know my team. You know my team is Hera, Kanan, and Sabine. So I was happy that the episode was about her. And we got to learn a little bit about the history of that Darksaber.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah.
So do you think it's time to head to that video?
I think we should roll a clip. Right, so can we roll that beautiful bean footage?
We pulled a clip. From last night's episode, this isn't very spoilery when it comes to the plot, but this is a little bit of the history of the Darksaber and Mandalore. Let's take a look. I mean, I had it queued at our time, but that's fine.
You wanted to speak with me?
I've got something to show you.
What's this about? A lightsaber.
Not just any lightsaber.
It can't be.
So you recognize it?
That I do. It is the Darksaber, a symbol for the leader of House Vizsla, and later the group known as Death Watch.
I didn't know Mandalorians developed a type of lightsaber.
We didn't. This was one of a kind. Legend tells that it was created over 1,000 years ago by Tar Vizsla, the first Mandalorian ever inducted into the Jedi Order. After his passing, the Jedi kept the saber in their temple. That was until members of House Vizsla snuck in and liberated it. They used the saber to unify the people and strike down those who would oppose them. One time, they ruled all of Mandalore wielding this blade. This saber is an important symbol to that house and respected by the other clans.
In just that little clip... We learn so much that gets
here, she gave it to me for
that so much that gets unlocked since. From she the, yeah. from that world. So let's go ahead and fade out the clip. That'll be the end of that. So first of all, there was a Mandalorian Jedi.
Yes, there was.
What?
Awesome.
Oh yeah. And a big shout out to Star Wars News Net real quick. In the forums, there's a guy named CS Colonel Sanders or something like that.
Wow. But
he said bet money Tar Vizsla is Revan.
I
was dying laughing over that one. I mean, who knows? But I will say
I'll tell you who knows. Pablo Hidalgo.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you no. Like,
nah. But the cool thing is that there's some good and bad about this. Mm-hmm. The bad is, once again, and this is just writers in general, not just Star Wars. You're telling us things that would be really great if you showed us.
Yeah.
But I would have loved to seen the Mandalorian and Jedi War. That would have been great. I would have loved to see Tar Vizsla come to power. But just the fact that we now know that there was a Force-sensitive Mandalorian, and to imagine what he must have been like, because they're already warriors.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already kind of got that kind of like fighter's instinct chip on their shoulder. And he's a Jedi. Like, he must have been serious. Like, he must have been like, he was, you did not play with him. And also to see that, you know, he, in the clip they say, you know, after he passed, the Mandalorians liberated it. They stole it.
But yeah, they
stole it back from the Jedi Temple.
Yeah.
But to have seen that mission where they decided that they needed that dark saber and whatever it meant to them and what it was going to mean for the future and why they had to steal it and see them steal it. That just hearing that type of history gets me psyched for Star Wars.
So Chris James in the chat's like, so Mandalorian movie?
I hope.
Oh, for sure.
I hope.
Game of Mandalores?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, totally.
That would be good.
I would play that video game.
Something that I've learned about, and well, something that I've noticed when it comes to animation projects, whether it be movies, TV, shorts, whatever, is if you see something in another style, that could be indicative of something that might be worked on. So the idea of maybe a short film about Tar Vizsla and about his rise as a Jedi done in that 2D style.
You know,
told
what?
As a historical sort of thing.
Could it be a possibility that Lucasfilm could do kind of like straight to video things similar to like DC? Well, with their, like,
oh, could, sure.
Like, yeah. I wonder if that could be something, because then they could tell stuff that's super cool and then
super fringe too.
Yeah, super fringe as well without spending tons of cash on it. And, you know, give us a nice little, you know, 90 minutes, you know, 80 minutes or something like that, and it'll be real fun.
DC puts out at least one of those a year.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be one a year, and it was a big thing, and then it started, everybody got used to it.
Yeah.
But last year we got The Killing Joke.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And then this year we're getting Teen Titans.
Yes.
Yeah, Teen Titans and...
Justice League Dark.
Justice League Dark.
That one's coming out first, and then Teen Titans is coming out in the year. Mm. But I would say, even to go further than that, something that Disney and Pixar already do is put out shorts in front of the movies.
Yeah.
So, like, they haven't done it yet to where Pixar does an animated short for a Disney movie or Marvel does a short for a Star Wars movie. But I think we're getting to the point where we could get shorts in front of the Star Wars movies. And because for Marvel, they always release them as Blu-ray special edition, as Blu-ray specials anyway.
Mm. Yeah. And the coolest thing about this is that this stretches and broadens our history of the galaxy. So we're not making our world smaller by being like, oh, the Darksaber was owned by Granddaddy Skywalker. And Granddaddy Skywalker was Anakin's great-great-grandfather. No, we're learning about someone completely different that was in the Knights of the Old Republic timeline, and which ties in that, which means that hopefully, Pablo, come on, man, we need a Knights of the Old Republic TV show, please. But I think that could be very cool. We're starting to tie into that timeline, what happened back then, what it meant to a whole world of people. Like, this dark saber is a big deal as far as power and transfer of power is concerned.
And as well as keeping all of the clans in check when it comes to Mandalore.
Yes.
For those of you, like Alexis, who hasn't seen the episode of Rebels, that's fine. It goes into it a little bit more. I mean, it was yesterday, so it's a really small window for people to watch a television show, especially over a weekend. Don't worry about it. So learning what the implications could be for the future of Mandalore and what that means for our current characters that we're following on Rebels right now. Could mean a lot, could mean a little. Who knows? It's excited to see
really
how it develops.
I really want to see Sabine leading some Mandalorians in maybe last two episodes. Or they're probably going to do a double episode, you know, extravaganza.
Probably not this season.
Finale or something. Oh, well, yeah, maybe not. But, you know, maybe the crew is in trouble and, you know, Sabine shows up with like 20, 25, 30 people. That could be real cool, you know, leading the charge and taking out some stormtroopers.
This was episode 15.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many episodes they're going to be doing this season. I'm sure it's listed somewhere. But regardless, that's a lot for her to develop and for things to continue as is said.
Yeah, because it's only 30 minutes an episode. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a lot. Now, what I would like to see, does anybody remember the 2D? Oh, I mean, we talked about it last week.
I was going to say, the 2D Clone Wars. What I wanted to do was the micro series. Like, that was like that.
But do you remember the part where Anakin made his lightsaber?
Yeah, like I would want to see the making
of the Darksaber.
Yeah.
I want that with Tar Vizsla. And what type of a crystal did he find? Or was it even a crystal? Or was it something specific to Mandalore?
Like,
let's get more types of light weapons.
Yeah, because as the internet is, there's a lot of different quizzes and stuff that you can take to be like, what's your lightsaber kind of stuff? And I always got that one. And I'm always like, what is it? So so I would like to get the encyclopedia of how to make, you know, a lightsaber and different types and what you can use and things like that. But I think that's what intrigues me the most is the history of that and wanting to know, besides obviously all that cool crap that we just saw. But like, love that.
I'll be honest, that history piece trumped the rest of the episode. And the episode was cool. There's nothing wrong with the episode, but it's just, I like getting history pieces that we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I heard that, I was like, Tar Vizsla. Oh, what was he like? Oh, he must have been an amazing Jedi. Mandalorians already love to fight, and he was a Jedi. Oh, man. He was, and like,
what
I
was
just so excited.
What was his workout routine?
It was, he plays Hearts of Fire, like Rocky IV. Bing, bing, and he runs up a mountain. like lifting logs and stuff.
That workout montage must be amazing. But no, I think this, since we're so deep into Netflix series and things like that, like right now, like, I mean, not to get too far off, but it also has to do with space. Like, Voltron got a reboot and all that kind of thing. Like, I think it would be a great place and time to start doing that, where we can start bringing mini series such as like the Clone Wars that we were talking about last episode, and bring like the history of this. Like, Mark showed me a great YouTube channel that goes into the history of like little things.
Yeah,
but
it's Minute Star Wars, not Star Wars Minute.
Yes. Yeah. So like doing that would be kind of cool, of having like a 10 episode thing of like, here's how this was made and how this was done and why we have this and stuff like that would be kind of cool as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we have it for everything. Might as well use it, you know?
And I wonder what age, like it mentions this was long ago, but if it's it's definitely pre-Clone Wars because we know what happened to Death Watch and everything that occurred with that and how Maul got it. But aside from that, how are we talking Old Republic? Are we talking early Clone Wars? Are we talking
I'm guessing it's Old Republic. I think it was, but I didn't like search up all of that part. But I think it's Old Republic because they talked about the Jedi Mandalorian War.
Mm-hmm. The Mandalorian Wars were that's why people are saying rather duh.
Yeah.
But well, one of the things is because I would imagine something that we learned in sort of the expanded bit is the different lightsaber fighting forms. Mm-hmm. And Mace Windu was a practitioner of the ferocity form, I think form 7. And it has a name that I can't remember. But that seems like if there was a fighting style for a Mandalorian to use.
Yeah, that would be it.
I agree. But it wasn't. It was technically developed by Mace Windu, so that's a big separation. Why, I want to ask you, Michael, why do you think there's any credence into it being Revan? Because Revan wasn't a Mandalorian. He got involved in the war, but...
Yeah, not really, but it's always cool to, like, go down those paths and be like, what if? Like, not really.
And what if?
I would like, for Revan to be completely different, completely separate, to continue to stretch out our galaxy, stretch out our histories and our who's who of Jedi history.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think, the Sith War and all that, we have to see that sooner or later. The Mandalorian War, we have to see that sooner or later.
It's a lot of death.
Yeah. But I mean, it's cool.
It's definitely cool.
It's cool, Dan.
Folks in chat, if there's anything that you want us to talk about, let us know right now. We're coming down to the end of the show. We're going to keep talking about this for a little bit, but just because I know that there's a little bit of a delay.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Old Republic stuff, it's going to happen. How it's going to happen, we don't know. It's going to make money, for sure.
Yeah. Just off of the curiosity.
Yeah.
You know, but people are going to be like, will it be on like the game, blah, 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 you know.
Is it going to be like once the MMO closes down, which probably won't be for a little while, because as far as, they went free to play, but they still make a lot of money on microtransactions. I know a friend of mine has a character in every single class.
Dear God.
Sith Inquisitor is what he mains mostly, but he's like, yeah, I like the story, so I wanted to keep back playing different races, different
yeah, that makes sense.
Different jobs, different whatever, different classes, and yeah, like, it's one of those things that people keep going back to that keeps making Disney money, so they won't close that stuff down as long as the cost doesn't overshadow the gain. Yeah. Anybody in chat? Bringing stuff up.
They were talking about mostly of where they would like where they would want the series if we got one. Some people said would you rather have a movie than a series? I just want my programming. I don't care which way they do it.
Yeah, I think a series would be good because Star Wars hasn't gone there.
Yeah.
But I think they're probably trying to figure out how to do it without watering down Star Wars.
Makes sense.
But I think, like, you know, like we said, like maybe something about Mandalore, something about the criminal underworld, something that doesn't tie in directly. So you get kind of like your fringe, you know, stuff without kind of like messing with, you know, Anakin, Luke, Ahsoka, Ben, you know, and regular old Ben, and then young Ben, not related. But
just jumping around here.
Leia, you know, without messing with the main people, but still dealing with, you know, Thrawn, or dealing with Krennic and, you know, Tarkin and their deal with each other. And, you know, I think there's a lot to explore. And then, I guess, mostly with the Old Republic, because you can do stuff in the Old Republic, and you never have to really worry about, because it's like I think they just say thousands of years before the Clone Wars.
It's 1,000 generations or 1,000 years. Huge time difference.
1,000 generations is like way more than 1,000 years.
Because that's what Obi-Wan says in Episode 4.
Yeah.
But then in Episode 1, they say over 1,000 years. The Jedi Order. Technically over 1,000 years.
Could be 1,000 generations.
Could be 1,000 generations.
Yeah. So, you know,
I never noticed that until
but
now.
Like, in over 1,000 generations, you can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And you'll never come into contact with, oh, well, we can't do this because Palpatine did this. Or we can't do this because Yoda did this or Luke did this. You don't have to worry about that. And I think that's a fertile ground for some great storytelling.
Right. The chat says, well, Garrett started a kind of a conversation with everybody so far in the chat where it says, did you guys like the Black Saber reference in Rogue One?
In Rouge One, yeah. Loved it.
Rouge One. And then Aaron said, oh, love the Black Saber reference. And then Chris James said, don't think that it's about the Dark Saber. It's a designation for another super weapon project.
I mean, Black Saber is technically a super weapon.
It is.
It's a blade that can be handled by a non-Jedi.
Yep.
So it could be a super weapon if in the right hands.
Yeah.
And when it comes to Netflix, the only issue that I would have with doing something in the Old Republic first would be, why would the mass market care about that other than it's Star Wars? Because even by Marvel starting with Daredevil, there's still a public knowledge of Daredevil because of the Ben Affleck movie. So despite that, it's people going, oh, maybe this will be better. So
they said the same thing about Jessica Jones, too.
Yeah, but
they didn't
Wars.
Start with Jessica Jones.
True. That is true. That is
so that's the thing.
True.
They start with Daredevil already looking for a little bit of a redemption story with just that production. And it's like, hey, then it blew people out of the water because it wasn't just good. It wasn't just better than the Ben Affleck thing. It was good on its own terms and good on its own merits.
Yeah.
So what can Star Wars do for a Netflix type series that fans will be like, oh, well, I'm watching that 100%. Well, and also non-Star Wars fans can go, I'm going to spend my time watching that show.
That's true.
Besides
that
just putting the word Star Wars on it, once the word Star Wars itself is going to get headlines.
True.
So normal people will see it in their Facebook feeds, Twitter feeds, blah, blah, blah. But once they drop that trailer, whatever that trailer it is, and it's hot and everybody's sharing it, the normal people be like, oh, this looks pretty cool. What's this? Oh, it's Star Wars 2? Well, I have Netflix. Or let's be honest, not I have Netflix. I'm using my brother's account.
Yep. Yep.
Or I'm using my best friend's account or something like that. And like, they'll be like, I'll check it out. So I think Star Wars is a good place because it has probably some of the best recognition, name recognition besides like, I don't know, Nike and McDonald's. And then also the fact that there's so many people that are excited for it. There's going to be so many articles written, so many shares, so many videos made for it on YouTube.
And you don't see that as a problem. You don't see that as people who are not fans of Star Wars going, oh, here's that Star Wars crap again. I don't want to watch it.
Oversaturation
is a problem.
Not if it's good. I think we nitpick things when they're bad. When they're good, we don't nitpick things. Notice even when there's a lot of something, if it's good, you're like, it was a good movie. Like, you won't be like, oh, I'm so tired of such. You only do that when it sucks. When something sucks, when it's bad or when it's like highly divisive, that's when you get tired of it. But if it's quality, it's like, man, wow, they got another one coming? Wow, they're doing
it. But I am going to play devil's advocate because I do work with people in my day job that are sick and tired of seeing Star Wars everything. They're like, that's why a lot of people that I know didn't see Rogue One because they were just like, it's another Star Wars thing. I'm tired of it.
What was our first story of the day?
Well, no, I mean,
how much
right.
did those people really affect that?
No, of course
so
not.
So it's like, Disney knows that. They're like, oh, yeah, there'll be some people that'll be like, oh, I'll wait till video or, you know, Netflix or HBO or whatever. But for the most part, people are digging what we're putting out.
I know, I'm in the middle. I think that it doesn't really matter. If Star Wars is the label, people are going to watch it. But I'm also on your side on that because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of product out there that has big labels on it, but nobody watches it.
It's toys. It's food. And again, and this is me playing devil's advocate as well. It's toys. It's food. It's all over Facebook. Every story seems to be Star Wars. Everything is Star Wars. And whether you like it or not, you know that a new Star Wars movie is coming out.
Yeah.
And I think that's I agree with you if it's bad. Like, say if Star Wars came out, say if Star Wars had like 2-3 bad movies in a row, then I'd be like, yeah.
Blasphemy!
But I'm just saying.
I know technically it happened.
But you know what I mean.
But, you know, I mean, it happened to where Star Wars had to regroup for like 10, 12 years. But if you know, what have you done for me lately? And lately, you made us a sweet movie that made over $1 billion. Yeah, Star Wars, what you got? You know?
And again, it's hard to talk about this as people who are in the loop.
Yep.
Like I had mentioned to you a couple days ago when I had seen Assassin's Creed with a group of friends that were big into the franchise like I was. My wife wasn't that into the franchise, and we were all like, that was great. And then we stopped and turned to my wife and all asked, but did you like it? So that's if you have we want to hear from your friends. If you're watching us right now, listening to us right now, you're a fan of Star Wars. Like whether it's a huge fan or not so much of a fan, you just want to find a group of people to talk about Star Wars, and we thank you for that. So if there's anybody that you know that isn't that into Star Wars, ask them what it's like seeing that news hit their Facebook feed every day. We want to know. We want it to be perfectly honest, and we would put out the poll ourselves, but that's, again, only going to people.
And then technically, since it's Facebook and Twitter, maybe they don't see that stuff because they don't follow and they're not friends with people that are Star Wars fans. So maybe that's another thing. Maybe they don't even know. Because I'll be honest, and Rogue One is big, and my father loves Star Wars, but he found out about Rogue One, like, in November.
Wow.
You know?
Interesting.
But, I mean, my dad, you know, he's an older gentleman.
No,
traditional media as opposed to, like, modern.
Yeah. I mean, my grandparents are on the same boat. My grandmother loves Star Wars, and she only finds out Star Wars stuff from us.
Yeah.
So I get that. That makes sense.
We don't shut up.
Oh, no. She knows. I'll be like, hey, Grandma, look.
Look at all this Star Wars.
I love Star Wars.
So that was fun.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
Hey, we have a contest winner to pick.
Do we?
Whoa.
Yes, we have three reviews.
We have three reviews right now. We're gonna let it go one more week.
Oh, but come on!
We're gonna let it go one more week.
You know, the three were like, my odds have been crushed.
Because here's the thing: is when I found those reviews without looking at most recent. So we have so many reviews that iTunes isn't letting us really find them all.
You're right.
Unless we go one by one, but we found these three grouped up.
I got excited.
I know. So we're going to go one more week. We're going to post what we're giving away again. It is a wonderful
print. It's a print of Princess Leia and R2-D2. And
it's like a little
golden book cover, yeah. But it's just a print, and it says like my warrior princess or something like that on it, and it's adorable.
Yes.
We'll post the picture. I have it still.
So make sure to leave us a review on iTunes. That is how you enter our contest.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody who has left a comment, and if you've already left a comment, just make a new iTunes account and enter that.
in the running. We haven't kicked you out yet.
It's still there. And the people, people who left us reviews like a year ago. Yeah. Just make a new iTunes account and leave a new review because it's a new version of the show and we can use your help.
Also, if you are from obviously out of the U.S., anything like in the U.K. or Brazil or a lot of places, they're like, I did one. We just can't see it. So you got to make sure to take a screenshot or something of that from your computer or wherever you're leaving the review. And also, we do... Google and SoundCloud and all that kind of stuff, make sure you put that in there because we want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you want to be in the running, you got to let me know.
You want to win that poster print.
Yeah.
That's right.
So make sure to tag all of us in it so we can see it.
So next week, for real this time, we're going to be talking about Catalyst. I'm going to go tomorrow, right after I get off of this. I'm going to buy that book. I'm going to read the first couple chapters, so I have to finish it or I will lose my mind. So thank you for joining us for episode 115 of Jedi Alliance. Everybody, gentleman and lady, where can the folks find you until next week?
Oh, gosh. You can follow me all over social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all that good stuff. I don't know. Smoke signal me at atores890. That's A-T-O-R-E-S 890.
Thank you, Michael.
Perfect. All right, and you can find me on YouTube. You can search Nerd Soul or find me online. Tweet me, holler at me, IG me, whatever, at One Youngsta, which is O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A.
And I'm the internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. You can follow us all here at Jedi Alliance Pod. I just tried out the live Twitter app before we went live here. So we might do a little pre-shows here or there.
Yay! All
social media. And we got our Instagram. We got our Facebook page. Make sure to follow all of us here at The Popcorn Talk on Twitter. If you want more movie goodness, we've got DC Movie News, Marvel Movie News, Disney Movie News, Sci-Fi Weekly, Video Game Movie Anatomy, which next week we're going to be covering the new Resident Evil movie.
Woo.
It's a lot of fun if you want to talk movies. And if you want to talk TV, head over to our sister network, AfterBuzz TV, where we are all hosts on various programs. But until next time, thank you for joining us here on Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.